The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Yo, welcome back to the K4 Winds. I'm Tony Curry, Kip Kiefer down below, executive director of the Birmingham Racecourse Casino. Hey, man, been doing gambling all his entire life, calling dog races, horse races, you know, he's been doing it. And, of course, Kai Gregory, he's also been doing the gambling. Almost four decades. He's been on both sides of the ledger for quite some time. But we are pros and we are experts. We have another one's going to join us here in just a minute. Case Kiefer. There he is right there. Joined us right there. Just right at the right time. We can bring him on and put him on the screen there, Angel. There he is, Case Kiefer. He's the executive director, chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun. Live from Las Vegas, this is K4 Winds. Monster show today. We're on every Tuesday and Friday, 10 o'clock Central Time. You can watch us right here on the Digital Coastal Sports Network, not to mention on all social media platforms, and also on Tony Curry's YouTube channel. Go to Tony Curry, it's K-U-R-R-E, Tony Curry's YouTube channel, or K4 Winds YouTube, and watch the show live. We've got the CFP finals going on tonight. We've also, of course, got Kip's best 12. We're going to do that right off the top, and I hope everyone's doing fine. We got championship weekend coming up this weekend. Everyone doing good?
Great, and welcome. Thank you for bringing back the look of the 90s there, Case, with the goatee.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's get into it here. I want to jump right into Kip's best 12. And for people that have not watched the show, this is not a projection of what he thinks the committee is going to do. This is not what he thinks are the most deserving teams. These are the 12 best teams in college football, period. And we don't even make him put numbers behind them. By the way,
I've kind of started to.
All right. Well, you can explain that. The projected 12 tonight. This is projected as Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, Texas Tech, Oregon, A&M, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Alabama, number 10, BYU, and Miami. Now, the projected playoff picture looks like this in 1 to 12. Ohio State, Indiana, Georgia, Texas Tech, the fourth seed, they'll get the bye. Oregon, A&M, Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Notre Dame is number 9, Alabama is number 10, Virginia is number 11 because they could win the ACC, and Tulane will get that group of 5 out of the AAC. So you can see how they're just assisted a little differently. What we're doing here with Kip is we're just doing his best 12. So obviously Tulane probably is not going to be that mixed, despite the fact they'll probably be in the playoffs if in fact they win out. So
yeah, they've got to get by North Texas. That's going to be a big chore.
They do. And right now North Texas actually favoring that game, and that should be a lot of fun to watch. The over-under 66.5, so things are going to be flying up and down the football field. Both teams could put up some points. Give me your best 12 right now, my friend. I want to see how much different, or if it's different at all than the CFP to me. And the fact you're only the best 12, I think this is good. And then again, we're talking about hopefully 16 next year. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they had till December 1st to vote on that. So it looks like we're going to go another year 12, which I can't believe because there's more money to be had if you go to 16, but should be fun. What do you got?
Well, I've gone to now more of a numerical. This is basically in order. It's not my final verdict, yep. But because you know, I've been tough on the Big Ten all year. You guys know my love for that conference, but at least Ohio State now has, because I don't consider Texas a legitimate win or consequential win, because you know I think Texas sucks. But Ohio State did go to Michigan and did show their stuff, and I will go ahead and grudgingly concede that was a quality win in a game that a lot of pressure cooker there. They had lost 4 in a row, and I thought they performed very, very well. So I've got Ohio State now. If I had to numerically rate them, I've got them back on top temporarily until we see the game against Indiana this week. I've got Ohio State. I've got Georgia, who I think is playing as well as anybody in the country right now. I've got, despite the fact that they do not have a coach anymore, I have in my poll the third best team in the country being the Ole Miss Rebels. And I find it absolutely absurd that people are writing that Lane Kiffin has left for greener pastures because he's got a better chance to win the national championship at LSU instead of Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a major contender this year. LSU is a raging dumpster fire. You know, in this volatile period of college football, for people to make that calculation, this isn't 1975 or 1985 or even 2005. The game is completely changed. It's a different world now. I think the the assertion that he is going to greener pastures is ridiculous, because he's built a team that can win it this year at Ole Miss, and now he's not there. So with all that being said, I'll go down the rest of the list here real quick. I've got Indiana in the four spot. I still have questions about their offensive line and certainly their schedule. Texas Tech, number five, who I think is a real threat to win the whole damn thing. Also, let's look at the rest. I've got Alabama higher than others, because I still think in terms of the best teams, they are one of the six best teams. I've got Oregon, who I thought they would slip up against Washington. I was wrong. I will be happy to admit that. Washington really disappointed.
A lot of people were on that game too. That was a great win for Dan Lanning.
Washington's effort there really disappointed me. Yeah. Oregon showed me something going up there and winning that game, coming off the USC win. Got Texas A&M next, who's barely hanging on here. I don't rate the South Carolina game very highly. I don't care about the Gallant comeback. It was more of a Shane Bummer collapse than a Texas A&M comeback. They're still hanging by a thread here. I don't think they're even one of the top four best teams in the SEC. Oklahoma is next. Then I've still got Miami as far as one of the best teams. I don't think it's justifiable for in any metric or measure them to be behind Notre Dame. They beat them head to head. That's got to count for something. I've got Notre Dame next. And my number 12 right now, because I'm not even factoring in the automatic qualifier, North Texas or James Madison, or even Tulane. One of those three are going to get in. But Vanderbilt's win over Tennessee on Saturday really impressed me. Vanderbilt is legit. They are the 12th best team in the country, and maybe even a little better than that. So that's my top 12.
There you go.
A Tennessee team that did not beat a team with a winning record this year.
Who's that now? Who?
Vanderbilt beat a Tennessee team that has not beat a team with a winning record all year.
Yeah, I mean, but Tennessee's losses are three of my top six.
I understand that, but then also, if you look
at it. And they should have won two of those games.
But by what you said Miami's ahead of Notre Dame because they beat them head-to-head, but you have Alabama ranked ahead of Oklahoma, and Oklahoma beat Alabama head-to-head.
Yeah.
At Alabama.
Well, I'm going by – you know, I'm not getting into criteria as much as just I'm more eye test, I guess. I'll readily admit. I think Alabama played a tougher schedule than Oklahoma, and even though Alabama lost that game at home to Oklahoma, I think it was self-inflicted wounds mostly. I don't think Oklahoma's a better team than Alabama. Okay, head-to-head, Oklahoma won the game, but their resumes are pretty comparable.
And I would love to see Notre Dame and Miami play again. I mean,
yeah, I think they're two of the best 12 teams.
Yeah, I think we may see a different – I think we may see a different output, yeah.
But what's happening politically with this committee right now, they're positioning teams based on their numerical rankings justify what they ultimately do. Yeah, and it's going to result in Alabama, Miami, or Notre Dame getting screwed. Notre Dame right now is kind of being sized up, despite the fact they've wiped everybody out the last 10 weeks of the season. Notre Dame right now, if Alabama beats Georgia on Saturday, Notre Dame might find themselves the odd man out.
You want to look at a schedule situation, too. Notre Dame, I mean, yeah, they started off gangbusters with two tough games, and they lost those two games. But, I mean, it has fallen off every single week after that. They're blowing teams away. And I think one of the reasons that everyone feels like Notre Dame should be, and as we've all said, at least on this show, hey, look out for Notre Dame because it was a great, sexy story because no team's ever lost the first two games of their season, and you'll probably never see that again actually make the playoffs after losing the first two. So I like that. I like the fact you got Alabama number six. By the way, I had a huge pick on the Auburn Tigers. They're down 17-0. Strange things happened down there on the plains, and so I knew they were going to come back, and it's 2020, and Kalen DeBoer has got the biggest nuts I've ever seen. I cannot believe they snapped that ball with 2 seconds left. Obviously, the touchdown pass by Ty Simpson was just huge in that game. And they get the win. They win by seven. So for a lot of people that, and I think that line ended up going up to 6.5 or 7 by kickoff. So a lot of people probably got a push on it. But that was a fantastic Iron Bowl game. It was a lot of fun to watch. It was very, very sloppy and ugly early on. And now we got championship week. Let's get right into it. Alabama and Georgia.
Well, Kai's got his top 12.
Yeah, Jordan, yeah. Do you want to do a top 12?
I just
Just tell me what's different. What you don't like about Kipps and what you do have in your thing, and then we'll move on.
Ole Miss at three is not going to happen, no matter what, especially with Kiffin leaving. They are going to punish them. Now, that may drop them from 6 to 7, but there's no way they're
Pete Golding to the rescue. That's what we're saying on our show.
The betting market, the biggest gripe, Ole Miss would be nowhere near three. And I don't think they should not make it or anything. But, I mean, the bottom line, I think they went 6-1 in games decided by less than a touchdown this year. I thought last year's team was way better, and they kind of had bad luck.
Defensively, for sure.
Through the betting market rankings, Ole Miss isn't even in the top 12. So I think three is the big thing.
Saw a couple places they ballooned in terms of the odds when Kiffin departed for Baton Rouge yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not even factoring in the Kiffin stuff yet. They've earned it. They deserve to be in. But I don't see this Ole Miss team as a
true. And Pete Golding is hilarious. Is now the interim coach, you know? Because the thing about that, and we can move on to more of the gist of the discussion here. But I looked at the list of who Kiffin took with him yesterday. It's like 9 guys. It's not just offensive staffers. It's the strength and conditioning coach. It's his general manager. The head coach ranks ahead of the general manager. That was one of the big bugaboos at Florida, where Strickland said, no, that's not how it's going to work structurally. That doesn't make any sense. And the assistant athletic director is also going along to LSU. That list just overwhelmed me yesterday. It's like 9 guys going with Kiffin. So it's Pete Golding, and who's he going to get for assistance? Is he going to round up some middle school coaches from the Oxford area?
No, it's. I mean, the cupboard is bare for sure from a coaching standpoint. And again, we Kip and I had a really great discussion on this. You can check out Kiefer and Curry on Tony Curry Radio. I don't. Ole Miss needs to check their ego and say, I don't care if Lane Kiffin's got his ear on the phone with LSU during the game. Let him coach that Ole Miss game. He's going to give you your best shot to win a national title. You know he wants to win a national title as bad as anybody wants to.
Yeah.
It'd be a great way for him to go out. The fact that Ole Miss is not allowing him to coach is ridiculous. People are trying to make this dissertation of the 2016 situation where Nick Saban fired him. That was totally different. He was an OC there. He was not a head coach. Steve Sarkisian had taken over, and obviously we know where he's at now. But that was a little different story. But I do believe I think they beat Clemson if Lane Kiffin's the OC in that game in 2016.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that being said,
Tony and I disagree on that completely because no.
I use the analogy of a stripper, and I went out with a stripper years ago.
I'll use an ex-wife. It's like a guy has a torrid affair and tells his wife, "Well, me and my new girl are building a house, but until then, I'm going to still live here with you."
Sure. Yeah. And then she realizes, well, you know, he's got a lot of money, and he still is hung like a horse. I think.
Yeah, that's not practical.
Yeah. Well, and neither is Lane Kiffin, for that matter.
Amen to that.
And all I know is he's been at several different places in 18 years, and he's been in some places for 13 games, 20 games at USC. We did agree on the fact that it's amazing that USC fired this guy a few years back, and how bad would USC would love to have a Lane Kiffin now, because he just seemed like he was such a USC kind of guy, because he was a West Coast kind of guy. All right, let's get into some handicapping. Georgia -2.5. I'm looking over the numbers. Case, correct me if I'm wrong. Is Bama 6-1 against the spread last 7 against Georgia? I know they've won 6 of the last 7 outright. And I was thinking they were looking. I was trying to figure out. I think they're 6-1 against the spread. Bama has owned Georgia. Let's just say that. They have absolutely owned Georgia. They've gotten beaten one time in the last decade, back in 2022 when they won by 15. It was January 10th, 2022, 33-18 Georgia. But Bama has owned their ass.
But that was for the national championship too, by the way. That wasn't just a regular.
Yes, it was. It sure was. You're absolutely correct. And now we're sitting here looking at 2.5. And what's that over under? 42.5, 43.5, something like that. Or no, I'm not sure what that is. I wrote down the number. Anyway, 2.5, Georgia, 2.5. What's your initial thoughts, Case? 47.5. Okay, thank you. Yeah, 47.5. What's your initial thoughts on Georgia, 2.5, and where'd you have them?
Yeah, I have Alabama's covered 5 of the last 6. I have Georgia actually covered the, I guess, SEC championship in 2018. They lost 35-28, but they were an 11-point dog. And then I guess in the national championship back in 2018, they closed a 3.5-point dog and, of course, lost by 3 in overtime. So I have them covering those last 2, but 5 of the last 6, Alabama has won and covered. Total right now is 47.5. Seen a little bit of early action on Georgia. This opened basically 1.5 everywhere on Saturday night, which I thought was a little short too. My initial, just off the top of my head, I thought it was going to be 3, maybe a juice 3. Then I did the actual numbers crunch, and I came out 2.5, and we're at 2.5 now. I think there's kind of a halt in Georgia's momentum. I mean, the Georgia Tech game was pretty grisly. I mean, all these terrible ACC teams scored way more on Georgia Tech than Georgia could muster. So I think maybe if Georgia kept their upward momentum and they blew out another team they should have, maybe you could have seen this get to a 3. But now you look at the recency and that part, you don't get as much of a push from it. I ended up in my column picking Georgia, kind of hoping I'm wrong. I had the Alabama SEC futures, obviously. I wish Alabama was a favorite so I could come back on Georgia. So my approach is going to be just hope Alabama takes a lead somewhat early and I can come back on and arbit with some Georgia plus money. But I think it's a really close game. I think Georgia's highs, if Georgia is on and we've seen their top level, I think they're better than Alabama. But honestly, I think Alabama's been a little more consistent. If you just drop a pin at whatever game they are, they're not like you know, all year I've been saying they've been a little bit lesser than what I thought. They're not going to blow out anybody, but it seems like a week in, week out basis, you know what you're going to get for them. Whereas Georgia, to me, is kind of a little more of a grab bag.
And thanks to Kalen DeBoer for obviously getting his 10th victory. That put them over in the futures, over 9.5 games, which I desperately needed, by the way. I had money on one side, then I had money on bigger money on the other side. So I'm glad to see Alabama get their 10th victory. Kai, obviously you've got a lot of Bama fans, a lot of Bama players. People love to play Alabama's line, regardless of what it is. What do you expect to see happen this weekend? Do you think that line's going to stay at 2.5? It's mustered right around that 3. It's going to be really interesting.
I expect to see Alabama fans bet Alabama, and I expect to see smart bettors bet Georgia.
Yep.
As it gets later, I would say, and I hate using this word, but I'm going to use it anyway, for guys like Case, sharps that know what they're doing, I think they're going to come in. I think they're going to come in on Georgia. I really do. I don't know. The eye test to me, if you look at you know, kind of going back to the playoff stuff, Alabama has not looked good the last four or five weeks. Take out the Eastern Illinois game, but they struggled with South Carolina. They lost at home to Oklahoma. They struggled with LSU. They struggled with Auburn. I think Georgia's doing better. I like Georgia's defense, the way they played, especially this past weekend against Haynes King. They're going to be able to load up again. You know, question is Ryan Williams going to play, and which version of Ryan Williams are we going to get also in that game? And
where was he, by the way?
What the portal? He's hurt.
So, that's what they say.
He didn't look hurt to me.
Reports surfaced last night that he already has a deal with LSU. He is going to be gone.
I think that's a huge deal, because if you look at the person, in my opinion, that has hurt Georgia the most when they played last year, it was Ryan Williams.
And won the game single-handedly.
Spectacular catches. Ty Simpson, to me, has not looked as good over the last month. He was at the beginning of the season. Maybe people are catching up. I don't know. I and this pains me to say it almost as much as I would about Alabama. I respect Georgia's defense and what Kirby Smart has done, and I really, really believe that his defense is going to be the difference in that game. I really do.
They have not played a full game yet this year. Georgia hasn't. And this will be a fine time for them to do that. Kip, I know you wanted to chime in as well.
Well, my view of Ty Simpson is Alabama never tries to even throw deep. I wonder if he's got some kind of, you know, something that's preventing him from throwing the deep ball, because they just try to dink and dunk teams to death and they can't run the ball, but they don't throw it down the field all that much. And without Williams being their major vertical threat, then, you know, maybe there's an explanation to that. But
I'll tell you what, that touchdown throw at the end of the game was a beat, though, man. That was just, I mean,
he's from the four-yard line. I mean, yeah, that's not throwing.
Well, yeah, he had a guy. He didn't hit the window. He hit the window pane.
I think his velocity and his short passes are still good. I'm still wondering why, you know, a team that can't run the ball doesn't ever take any deep shots, and they just don't seem to do that now. And maybe their home run hitter, for whatever was going on. I mean, let's put this in perspective. Ryan Williams, the first five games last year, was the most dynamic player we'd seen in a decade. I mean, this guy was a game break every time he touched the ball. What has happened to this kid? I guess he's over the hill. He's 18 now. Good grief.
Can't wait. And we'll certainly touch on this game again as we get after 10 o'clock Central Time on Friday. We'll be talking about the all the games. And, of course, we got some pros to get into a great slate of NFL games this weekend. Man, you know, some great matchups. I cannot wait to see this Indiana-Ohio State game because I want to see if Indiana's for real. And I can't believe I'm saying this because we've got a really good campus. I mean, the picture's pretty much done, and it looks fantastic for Indiana. Cignetti's done a wonderful job. He's staying there for as long as he wants to. And here's Ohio State. And you nailed it, Case. You said the line would be about 4. It's 4.5. Ohio State Buckeyes coming off that huge victory finally against the Michigan Wolverines. Is that about the number you'd put it at?
Yeah, this actually hardly ever happens in conference championship week, but I have one of my biggest bets of the year. It's not available now, but just to say, we talked about this weeks ago on the show. Said you could find it on major sports book. Ohio State was a 3.5, maybe juice 3.5 point favorite, and I thought that was just right where it was. But when this game posted Saturday, I mean, there's still this perception that Indiana's not a top-tier program, not on a top-tier list, which I just don't – I kind of got it last year. This year, you probably have the number one overall pick at quarterback. They've got such more talent-rich roster. There's huge interest in Ohio State right away. It got to 6.5, and I could not believe Indiana was a 6.5-point underdog. I was kind of debating with myself, do I wait and see if it gets to 7 or do I fire? And I ended up firing big on Indiana plus 6.5 because I think that's way too large. I think Ohio State should be a favorite, but I could make an argument. I think I only ended up making it 2.5. Now maybe I'm a little too high on Indiana and too low on Ohio State. I don't see any way why it should be above 3.5. Now we've seen Indiana buy back a lot of Indiana money. Some people were thinking the same way I was yesterday and it came back. I think we're a little bit closer now, but I just don't see a big difference in these two teams. And I should spare you not banging on about this again, but Indiana's schedule also is not that bad this year. They played a lot of the middle class of the Big Ten, which I think is better. And even the non-conference, Kennesaw State is a really, really good group of five program all of a sudden. They beat them by, what, like 50-6. Old Dominion, if the Sun Belt wasn't the one conference that didn't have divisions left, Old Dominion would be in the championship game. I think, you know, not even on paper, numbers-wise, these teams are about even. But just resume-wise, I think Indiana is too. So I'd still be on Indiana at the current number. But when it got closer to a touchdown and if more Ohio State interest comes in, I really like the Hoosiers here. And playing in their home state, I think it's going to probably be a little bit of a boost as well.
Yeah, who could have guessed that Kennesaw State and Old Dominion would be decent opponents? But Case is absolutely right. They both were really good teams this year.
Yeah, you were on from the start. And Kip, you were obviously all over Ohio State and their schedule all season long. You play the games that – your schedule, and that's what you do. And obviously, they schedule these games 3 and 4 years
out.
But then you've got Michigan, which
Indiana
is pretty good.
Oregon, yeah. And they didn't even play hardly any of the middle teams.
It's just like A&M. When we saw what happened when A&M finally played a decent team, and I know you don't think Texas is decent, but when they finally played a decent team, they got up to them because they didn't play Vanderbilt, they play Alabama, they play Georgia, they play Tennessee.
I know you guys get tired of me harping on who teams have played, but at some point it comes back to bite you if you haven't played any.
Well, Ohio State proved it this past week and got it done against Michigan.
Well, but Michigan agreed. Great team. I said Michigan. I gave them credit. That's a big win against their main rival. But I don't think Michigan at the end of the day is a very good team.
How long till Michigan's quarterback puts his name in the portal to agree?
Yeah, that would be something after they gave him $10 million this year.
No doubt. Well, the question was is based on what we know now from your son, obviously, Indiana, is this the one game, considering they haven't played anybody, will they be tested enough to be able to take on a top two team in Indiana this weekend?
Where that's the intriguing.
Because I think the public money's looking at this going, I'm taking Ohio State all day, and I see a 41-0 knockout because they're so used to Indiana sucking for so long, they think it's going to be like that. I don't see it that way as well. I think Indiana's got a real shot here. But what are you looking at, Kip?
Ohio State does have Bo Jackson, so that's a big factor. Isn't that something that that's really the first Ohio State game that I've watched extensively this year because I'm just not interested in seeing them line up against Purdue and Rutgers and the other murderer's row of opponents. But Bo Jackson looks like the real deal. He's not number 34, but that's more of that a running threat that they have he really impressed me on Saturday. This team's got a lot of pedigree. They're the defending champion. I'm really intrigued to see the game with Indiana because somebody's going to be exposed here as I don't think it's going to be a classic 31-30 game that we'll be talking about for years to come. I think one team or the other is going to win by a couple touchdowns.
Wow. Okay, so you think Indiana's got a shot at winning by two touchdowns?
I do, because, I mean, Ohio State, again, if Indiana's really the team that people think they are, and I haven't really made a final determination on that because I just don't follow the Big Ten as closely as I laser-focused on the SEC. But, you know, if Indiana's legitimate, I don't think Ohio State is any super team, because again, we really haven't seen them line up against, you know, top graded competition. If you want to hang your hat on them beating Texas 14-7, that was the first game. Both teams, of course, were pretty raw at the time, but I don't consider that a great win at home, beating Texas, a mediocre team, by just 7 points.
That would certainly lock up a Heisman Trophy for one Mendoza, if in fact he can knock up Ohio State in the championship game. And I'm so happy to actually do the Heisman Trophy after championship weekend. I wish they did it after bowl season. All right, let's roll around here. We got Troy, James Madison, 23.5. North Texas, Tulane, 2.5. We got BYU, Texas Tech. Texas Tech quietly just crawling up the polls. No one's really talking about Texas Tech because we just don't. They're giving up 12.5. Georgia, 2.5. Duke, Virginia. Duke getting in with all their losses, which is hilarious. They could just certainly
7-5.
They could certainly just screw everything up. And listen, they're only a 3.5-point dog.
They just got beat two weeks ago in this at home by this same team, 34-17. Yeah. I don't understand that line. Maybe Case can explain it to us.
I told my son, I said, hey, I said, Clemson, they lost, lost to a team that can win an ACC championship. He's like, stop. It's still Duke. Duke sucks. Indiana, Ohio State, 4.5. And then we're going to get into some pros action. But, Case, run around the horn, and I know there's some other games too, some FCS games as well. We'll make money on anything, but what's really sticking out to you early so you can really hone in on some games because there's not so many?
Yeah, I haven't really followed the FCS much. I know North Dakota State and Montana State are like so much better than everyone else. It's like if they're not in the national championship, it'll be like a huge shock. Which also is another thing I would say for team schedules that get put down. Oregon was beating Montana State 28-0 in like 5 minutes. Montana State would be favored over most of the FBS right now.
Yeah, I noticed that the other day. I was looking at Oregon's schedule and Montana State's actually really good. I mean, that looked like a game to you make fun of at the beginning of the year, but not so much.
Yeah. So, and the one thing about the Big Ten, I'll add, as much as I hate to say it, if Kip's right and there is a blowout, I do think an Ohio State blowout is more likely. I mean, we kind of saw it last year where Ohio State somewhat slept walking. And Ryan Day and Kirby Smart are the two coaches that have kind of said that they've, in a way that they want to amp it up for the playoffs. They kind of want to get through the regular season, take on the more NFL mentality there. So I do think there is a path to where just all this talent Ohio State has on defense. I mean, they probably have 3 or 4 first-round picks on defense, 2 top 10 picks for sure with Arville Reese and Caleb Downs. If it's a blowout, unfortunately, I think it's more likely Ohio State's. I do think they could probably get to a higher level. I think Indiana's kind of been balls to the wall every week. I'm very confident with my Indiana bet, but if it's a blowout, that would concern me because I do think the blowout path I could see more in Ohio State's corner. I mean, only 9 conference championship games. Real quick, I've got bets on a lot of them, of course. The first one, Conference USA. I know I just waxed poetic about Kennesaw, but I do think Kennesaw's probably the right side here. I bet them as an underdog. It's now I got +1.5. It's flipped all the way to a 2.5-point favorite. They did lose at Jacksonville State
a couple weeks ago,
but they gained like 8 yards per play. Just had 4. It was like their one super sloppy game of the year. They
a lot of turnovers.
-4 turnovers, and they ended up losing by like 10, but still, I mean, the stats, they dominated. I feel like I've trust their coaching staff enough. They've been sharp enough the rest of the year that I don't think that lightning strikes twice in that regard. So on Friday night, I took Kennesaw State. I didn't bet either side in the Sun Belt or the AAC. These are 2 of my futures. I have James Madison and Tulane both to win the conferences. I'm probably just going to let them ride. I mean, maybe if it got to 24, I might bet some Troy +24 because that's just nuts. You know, honestly, if I didn't have the futures position, I probably would have bet Tulane, especially when it's 3. North Texas, I think, is sexier. Their offense is unbelievable. But, you know, if you're just going checkmark by checkmark, I think Tulane's the more complete team. Playing at home, it kind of surprises me they're a dog here. So leaned Tulane there, but I didn't bet it.
Who's going to coach? Is Summerall gone now? I mean, he's taking the Florida job.
Summerall and Morris both are coaching this.
I was wondering about that. Okay.
Yeah. So
interesting. So the Tony Curry principle is in effect there.
Yeah. All the G5 coaches, I believe Chesney at James Madison, UCLA, signed off on him staying there too. So all the G5 coaches that were hired, from my understanding, are sticking with the program.
Interesting.
I'm very interested to see, all the reports are Kentucky's going to hire Will Stein. I'm very interested to see if.
Yeah, and you've been touting him all year.
I can't believe he would go to Kentucky. I don't know if he's a Jimmy Sexton guy or what, but if I'm his agent, I say just wait one more year. Oregon, this is supposed to be a rebuilding year. Got all these freshmen. Their offense looks incredible with everyone hurt. I think next year they might be like preseason number one, depending on who comes back. Why don't you just wait a year and you can get your pick of the litter? I can't believe he's going to go to Kentucky, but good for Kentucky, I guess.
The Will Stein resume is highlighted by two words, Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm. InfoTonyCurryRadio.net, InfoTonyCurryRadio.net. We take your emails, your texts. Joe in Hueytown has just chimed in and said, if it comes down to coaching in the Iron Bowl, who's got the upper edge, Kalen DeBoer or Kirby Smart? I'll just chime in. It would obviously look at Kirby Smart, but am I wrong here? I mean, DeBoer's been around a while. Obviously, he's in the middle of a situation where he can play for a national championship. Who do you guys give? Kip, who's got a better edge right now?
Well, I mean, Kirby Smart, I think, is the best coach in the country. But it may be voodoo. It may be something fogging his mind. But you cannot deny his terrible record against Alabama. Yeah, even if he has the edge in terms of his overall performance, this is a big demon in his closet that he's got to slay.
Would you have gone for it on that fourth down play? I know everyone's like, and the announcers could not believe that they didn't kick the three. And I was kind of like half and half because I don't know if they were going to get easy three, right? And so then you're going to give the ball back. You were going to give the ball back to Auburn. They had plenty of time to go down there and tie the game or win the game. But if he misses that throw and as 2020 Auburn wins, he is still being barred.
Yeah, I guess because the game was tied, that he still felt like that they had the edge, that they would stop them even if they didn't succeed, that Auburn would be conservative. I think it had something to do with the interim staff on the other sideline that, you know, giving them the ball at the five with still a couple minutes left would be fine, and kicking the field goal would – Auburn, as well as they had moved the ball, would come down and kick the tying field goal. I mean, I can see the decision, but I had a caller to my show on Sunday said, well, my 8-year-old son said, well, they have to go for it because their kicker stinks. So I wonder if the Talty factor, being a choker all year, even from that close in, had played into that decision a little bit.
By the way, Alabama number one in the SEC in red zone offense this year. Auburn was last in the SEC in red zone offense. They were scared. 89.9% of the time they were scoring touchdowns inside the 20. Auburn, roughly 43%. So maybe that played into as well. When Alabama gets inside the 20, they score touchdowns. And I mean, that's how they won a lot of football games this year. So that should be really interesting. Keep them coming. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Kyle, what other games are you taking some action on? You're interested in anything out there that we have not seen? You always were really good at finding those Kennesaw states and some of those weird lines. And certainly in several weeks where we've had college football games every single day of the week, we don't have it this week, but we do have some interesting games. Anything sticking out to you?
Honestly, I've taken a first glance at this. I spent the last day just all in KenPom ratings and in basketball. Already got 13 plays ready for today. You got ACC, SEC challenge today. I'm all about basketball and some strong games with, you know, Campbell at Penn State and East Tennessee State at Dayton on my resume. Looking,
and I'm glad you're doing the homework.
Yeah, exactly.
I love UNLV in this spot at catching four. I think without Madsen, and I don't think he's back, I just don't like this Boise State team without him at all. And I think UNLV's offense can score to at least stay within that, if not win the game outright. I would be on the opposite side. I would take North Texas. I don't think anything about Reslaff at Tulane. I think they should have been much better than they were this year. But
if North Texas wins that game, please clarify my brain.
They're in.
So whoever wins that game gets in. Yep. That's incredible.
And the big key, I think, is if Virginia beats Duke, which I think they will, in the championship game, they get in, and either Miami or Notre Dame or Alabama's out if North Texas and Virginia get in.
Yeah, obviously Bama's going to have three losses. I don't think they get in with three losses. I don't think anyone's going to get in with three losses. And then you got Notre Dame and Miami, and everyone's going to say head-to-head, Miami won that game, they should get in. But we know that obviously, you know, Texas is a little different team than they were when they played Ohio State. You even said, you know, early in the season, everyone's a little rough around the edges. Teams are a little different. That was one of the first two ball games of the year. It's going to be fun to watch. I can't wait because someone's going to get their heart broken. Until we go to 16, so it should be kind of great.
But then whoever is 17th going to get their heart broken.
You're right.
There's going to be an argument, and it's
– No, and it's worse now. It was easier to pick 4 than it was 12.
I think you're right.
The whole mess to me this year is the ACC's fault. This is just ridiculous. Oh, God. Duke and Virginia playing for the title game. I got to be honest, though. I was in favor of getting rid of the divisions and going in these monster conferences to this format. And now I'd do anything to go back to the divisions, or at least just make your, you know, I know everyone's just in it for themselves, trying to make the most money. And I know some of these conferences have gotten made fun of for having the tiebreaker be the CFP ranking. But is there just any way you could have gotten Miami into the title game? I mean, it is just insane they're not there. I honestly think Miami's going to be the team to get screwed more than Alabama, even. It seems like there's so much incentive not to punish these conference championship games to still make them such a television entity. Actually think if Alabama loses and it was me, I mean, Miami and Notre Dame would both be favored over Alabama on a neutral field without a question right now. Miami, Alabama, that's about a pick 'em. I know people are sick of me saying it and have gotten mad at me, but it's just the truth. Closing spreads right now, Notre Dame would be an underdog to one team in the country. So I know head-to-head has to mean something, but Notre Dame, the bottom line is if they get left out, it's a complete farce with how well they've played. So I kind of feel like it's shaping up to be Miami's the team that gets left out. And I think I would be disappointed. I have a lot of Miami futures, but I think this is the ACC's fault. This is just ridiculous that we came out with the, and also Virginia lost another conference game, just the NC State.
Yeah, it didn't count.
It's just insane.
Everybody wants Virginia in if you're 5-6, if you're 5-6, 7-8, because in my opinion, it's a pretty easy win. I think Virginia would be an easier win for any of those teams than North Texas. I think North Texas would beat Virginia if the two of them played.
Oh, I do too.
Case, how is that line only 2.5 Virginia Duke when they just played 2 weeks ago at Duke and Virginia beat them by 17 points?
Yeah, I had it a little short. I did bet some Virginia 2.5 at open. You know, the bottom, their underlying numbers, though, are kind of similar, these two teams, despite what happened in one game. And I'm trying to remember what week it is. I wanted to call up my notes on that game. So Duke's been really mistake prone this year. It's, you know, kind of the opposite of last year where they won every close game. This year they've had some really ugly showings, but really on a play-by-play basis, they've been pretty good. I also think they will have the best player on the field. I think Darian Mensah is like he's a human highlight. He's incredible. But I do think top to bottom, Virginia's a little better. And I think this number should – it's about where I think it should be now. I think it should probably be around 4, 3.5. I should have dug into their last meeting. I didn't. I remember Virginia winning. I think I was on Virginia. But now that it's over 3, Virginia's just been pretty underwhelming as well. This is just – what a travesty of a conference.
Miami, yeah, Duke lost to UConn. Guys, Duke lost to UConn 3 weeks ago.
I know. Yeah. I'm gonna throw a little cultural bias out there too, because I think if you look at Alabama, Notre Dame, and Miami, I think just from a college football standpoint, people want Notre Dame and Alabama in before they're going to put Miami in. Miami's just nasty. They've always been thugs. I know it's a bigger market. I know Miami's huge. But when you come down to college football fans, if you had to pick just a little favorite team and they're all equal, people aren't going to go with Miami because they've just always played nasty. They've played dirty. They've always been that way. And I think a lot of people and they have not been, quite frankly, in the forefront of college football as much as Notre Dame and Alabama has over the last 10 years. And so I think that's another reason perhaps people are kind of maybe looking a different direction. We're going to get back into it again on Friday. We're going to be all over. I do want to get into, you talked to some college hoops. We got NHL to get into. If you guys want to get into that, we got some NBA. We haven't gotten into any of that yet right now, but no reason really to. But there are some great programs going on this weekend. Maybe the best schedule I've seen. Cowboys, Lions, Steelers, Ravens, that's for all the marbles. They're both 6-6. Ravens 4-8 against the spread, by the way. Pair of 8-4 teams, Jags and Colts. That's a great game. My Bengals are playing the Bills. They're only catching 6. Bears, Packers, a 9-3 against an 8-3. The Texans and Chiefs. The Chiefs, 41% chance of making the playoffs if they win this weekend. If they lose, 14% chance to make the playoffs, and they're favored by 65% or more in every game left on their schedule. So it's all up to Mahomes and everything else. Then you got the Eagles and Chargers, a pair of 8-4 teams. It's just knockdown, drag out from top to bottom. It's a fantastic schedule of NFL games. What's piquing your interest, Case?
Well, I'm going to make a bet right now live on the
live.
I can't believe a 3.5 appeared for the Thursday night game. Just one sports book here in Las Vegas. But, man, I like Dallas at +3.5 at Detroit. I think you look at how they're playing recently. They have an extra rest off the Chiefs game. Detroit, just so perilous with the injuries. And to me, Amon-Ra St. Brown really matters. I know most receivers shouldn't move the line this much, but this would probably be fair with him. But I feel like he's kind of the heart of their offense. I know Jahmyr Gibbs has taken off recently, but I think these two guys the Cowboys acquired at the trade deadline, I've been a big critic of everyone has been, I think, of Jerry Jones, and I still don't think it was good to get rid of Parsons in the way they went about it. But I do think Logan Wilson and Quinnen Williams have transformed the defense, and I don't necessarily think the Cowboys will win, but I think this is a blow for blow, could go either way. So if you can get a 3.5 like I can right now, I like Dallas in the first game.
Fantastic. Kip, what's jumping up to you? I know it's a few days before Sunday, but man, it's getting down to the nitty gritty. Only 4 weeks left.
Yeah, I still cannot believe the rise of the Chicago Bears. I'm just in denial. Every week I pick against them. Every week they find a way to win, going into Philadelphia and beating the Eagles. And what a dysfunctional outfit that is, that can play so well some weeks and other weeks they just don't show up. The NFL to me, I'm hoping to be in Nevada while the season's still going on around Christmas, and I'm going to go to the sports book, and I'm going to get my sheet, handicap every game, and whatever I decide, I'm going to go up and bet the other side, and I guarantee I'll have a winning day.
There you go. It has been a lot of fun, man. Red Zone has been on fire this year. I mean, you flip a coin, it's just amazing. Carolina's starting to get hot. Good for Bryce, by the way. I'm so happy to see him.
I did call that preseason. Yeah. I thought they would be the most improved team in the league, and boy, they've exceeded my expectations.
And I'm just so happy for him, because I think he's a good kid, and I think he just got shit on. So many people just thought he was just too small and didn't have an arm, and he's really that throw he made at the end of that ball game was fantastic. What are your thoughts on and I just got an email here from my son. He's listening online. He said the Bengals still control their own destiny. And I said, are you sure? Because they've got
destiny to want for their team.
If they win out, they win the North. They've got one more game against Baltimore. They've got two more against Pittsburgh. So
he's probably right. But that's a big pipe dream.
That would be a 9-8 team getting into the playoffs. And I tell you what, whenever you kick a field goal, you're 3 points closer to losing. I thought McPherson did a fantastic job this past week against the Ravens. But every time they put up another three, I was like, man, you do not want to give a look. Is Lamar Jackson, by the way, something bagged up with him? Something wrong with him? Because they kept saying you can only report one injury at a time. And they say he's got about four different things going on. He doesn't look right, Case.
Yeah, he's a knee, ankle, toe, and something else. I mean, definitely doesn't look right. That's the thing that still gives me a little bit of hope in the Ravens, though, because everything else actually checks out. Their numbers-wise, they've been okay. They're just their quarterback's been terrible, and he's been the best quarterback in the league the last 3 years. So, obviously he's not banged up enough to keep him out of the game. So, and we've seen them finish years really strong. So I don't know if he ever can just get healthy or get to a point where he can run a little bit more, just to feel it a little bit better. I still think they have a high upside. And the Bengals, I mean, you gotta be enthused as a Bengals fan with what you saw on Thanksgiving. I know Burrow didn't look great either, but first game back from injury, I think he's going to get better too. It's moved a little bit, but I did bet Cincinnati +6.5 this week at Buffalo. I just feel like that'll kind of be a war. I certainly think Buffalo should be favored. It's down to 5.5 now, but I don't know. I kind of saw the vision. I was so high on this Bengals team for the first time ever coming into this year, and I kind of saw the vision of why Thursday. I mean, if they can get their defense not to be absolutely dreadful, which it has been most of the year, especially when Hendrickson's out as he is now, and you have Joe Burrow, I don't think they're a comfortable matchup for anyone. That being said, it's hard for me to think they're going to run off all these wins and make the playoffs, unfortunately. I wish Joe Burrow could stay healthy. It'd be interesting to see what he could have done this year.
There is an active record right now in the National Football League. One team has got the longest streak of 500 or better seasons in a row. They've done it 21 seasons in a row. Anyone know who it is?
Steelers.
That is the Steelers, correctly. Right now they're 6-6. Would you say the Aaron Rodgers experiment has been a good thing, a bad thing, or an ugly thing so far, Kai?
An old thing that's kind of played out.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate it for Mike Tomlin. But I did see something interesting the other day. I mean, would anybody else with Mike Tomlin's playoff record still have their job?
No. And I mean, there's a lot of things playing in the fact that he obviously has got one of the longest tenure things in the National Football League.
I like the guy. I think he is outside of his playoff record. I get that. But I think that he's a great example of what a coach can be and should be and what they can mean to their team, to their state, you know, and all that. I just think it's about time. And it's about time for Aaron Rodgers to leave the NFL.
No doubt.
Him and Colin Kaepernick can go out and try for an Arena Football League job next year.
Yeah, I think Tomlin, too, the Rooney family, the longtime owners of the Steelers, have a tradition, a legacy. They stick with their coaches. The Steelers have made very few coaching changes historically in the entirety of that run with the Rooney family. And, you know, I've had some experience with them when I was in the Greyhound racing business. They owned the Palm Beach Kennel Club. Great guys, really magnanimous and they just have a different operating philosophy. It's a lot more of a family thing, and Tomlin is definitely a guy that they regard super highly, and I think the only way Tomlin's ever going to leave is on his own volition.
How interesting is it that they have the Rooney rule, and the Rooneys obviously have a black head coach? That's another reason, whether you like it or not, he's a black head coach. He's a successful black head coach, and because of that, he's going to be more difficult to fire. And he's been there because someone will pick him up in a heartbeat.
Watch out for the Jaguars beating Indy. I've been on the Indiana Jones bandwagon. His leg being hurt was a huge factor. This weekend, I jumped at last second. It is very obvious. And when he can't move, he's just not as good. I would give him a week or two off if I was them, but I don't think they're going to do it. So I'd go ahead and jump on Jacksonville in this situation just because he's beat up. If there's any weather, he can't move correctly. And they're a different team when he can't move.
Jacksonville's catching a point at home with that game. And Trevor Lawrence, good for him too. Another guy that we're kind of seeing him grow up before our eyes. He's actually turning into a pretty decent quarterback with the long hair and everything else. He's doing pretty good. Anything else in the National Football League you guys want to get into? We were talking about the Chiefs a little bit. 7 years, 7 AFC championship games. Patrick Mahomes has pretty much done it all. I heard him talking this morning. How much responsibility are we putting on Patrick Mahomes for them not being successful this year? Listen, he's throwing some picks that he normally doesn't do. Obviously, he's getting a little older. He's in the midst of a fantastic career. The guy's had an MVP twice. He's won Super Bowls out the yin-yang. But he's also got an offensive line that's not nearly as good as it normally is. And Kelsey's getting a little older. He's got a love life in his life. He didn't seem like to be the same cat anymore. But I'm not going to hang anything on Patrick Mahomes right now because they're 6-6, no. Right?
They're running back stable. When you're relying on Kareem Hunt, who's got to be 40, he's been playing forever. I said a few weeks ago on the show, I thought – keeping Pacheco healthy was a huge key for Kansas City because he's the dirty work guy, the dirty jobs guy that is going to get you 4 or 5 yards most carries because he's all effort. But I think he's been banged up for 2 years now, and I just think that team is greatly diminished if they don't have any balance. It just all falls on Mahomes, and he's been up to the challenge year after year. But Case saw this decline coming last year. The saw was getting into the mighty oak, and now I think we're on the verge of yelling timber.
Speaking of Case, I wanted to give you a little homework too, by the way, for this coming Friday. I want you to give me the top 12 teams in college football who got the best betting record. In other words, you know what the lines are going to be between every single team. If Vegas were picking the best 12 teams, what would those 12 teams be based on who
performing against the spread?
Yeah. performing against the spread, because I firmly believe that should be the best way we should pick our 12 teams, because I mean, yeah. Vegas doesn't want
to. So I'm sure the committee is going to get right on there. Yeah. Forward yeah. that report to the committee.
Yeah, go to Las Vegas Sun, look up Case Kiefer and ask him what his extinguisher.
Just because it segues nice, a plug, it'll be next Thursday in the Las Vegas Weekly to run online, but I think this will be the either 10th to 12th year I've done the College Football Betting Awards, which is very similar. It's like team of the year is the team with the best against the spread record. There's like overachievement for biggest eclipse of a win total. Bettor's Choice, the team that made the bets, bettors the most money. Bookmaker's Choice, team that won the bookmaker's most money. I have like six categories, so look for that. It'll be next Thursday.
Off the top of your head, is there a mediocre team that we're not aware of that has been really good against the spread this year?
You know, it's really strange, and I think Tony pointed this out. Some years it's like that, and some years just the best teams are the best. And this year, I think it's runaway. Texas Tech and Ohio State have been the two best teams to bet.
Right. Texas Tech's a wrecking ball for sure.
I think both of them have only lost once against the spread.
All right. To get back to the NFL real quick, Case, who's your Super Bowl matchup right now? First of all, give me the lines on Super Bowl winners. First, I'd like to get that. And then tell me who you think is playing in Super Bowl 60.
Man, it's going to be really interesting in the AFC. We've seen all these all the old guard kind of fall in the trying to get it up right now. I'm almost sure the Rams are the Super Bowl favorite. Obviously, they beat the Seahawks. I think the Rams and the Seahawks have been the two best teams top to bottom. Again, the Seahawks only lost by three in that game, despite having four turnovers. I might go off the beaten path a little bit and say that I'd take the Seahawks out of the NFC. It's gonna be close. You know, right now, who's in line for the one seed? The Bears, they have a really tough schedule down their way, though. I don't think they're going to hold on to the one. So I'm going to go Seahawks, although they're 8-1 right now. The Rams are the favorite at 4-1 to win the Super Bowl. Man, the AFC, it's just like who are our one seeds are going to be the Patriots, either the Jaguars or the Colts, probably still the Ravens.
Are the Patriots for real? I know they've won 10 in a row now, but – Sure, this feels like one of those teams that's going to lose when they don't need to.
I mean, they have one of the easiest schedules in NFL history. They've really lucked out. Yeah. They've looked great recently, though. I am high on them. I don't see them getting to the Super Bowl. I guess I'm just going to hold hope against hope that somehow Lamar gets it together. And I will say, I'll say Baltimore. Of the teams that are going to get a home game, I still trust Baltimore more than these other teams. So
Buffalo looked good Sunday and out physicaling the Steelers. Are they done, or is Buffalo still in the hunt?
No, I think they have a chance. It's just tough for me to pick a road team. It's going to have to win three straight games on the road. I mean, like,
yeah, that's a great point. So, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Guy, what's your thoughts on NFL Super Bowl action if we're looking at some futures, perhaps, for the next couple of weeks?
The way the NFL's gone this year, I'd have to just sit back and watch and see what happens. My futures are pretty much destroyed because I was there with Case and had Baltimore early and their stuff. Seattle's done pretty well for me, but, you know, and the way they're looking, I would have to agree and take them out of there. But the Bears – you couldn't get me to bet on the Bears. They've gotten lucky, and I do think their schedule's been very easy. I mean, and New England, hell, New England benefits from a guy completely missing the ball, kicking a field goal last night.
That was unbelievable. Yeah. I've never seen that ever.
National Fixed League thing, if he makes that field goal there in the first half, New England doesn't cover the first half spread. But instead, he kicks the ground, and New England covers the first half spread.
Yeah.
Interesting. Uh-huh. Interesting. Okay. Very interesting. And I'm assuming you had that spread.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nope. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's what we call in golf a chili dip.
Yeah.
And it took the over out of play well in the first half. Stuck to the under at 24.5. But I would encourage people to go to k4wins.com today. We may have 15 college basketball plays. And as we get away from college football and all of the yin-yang, college basketball is going to be so much fun. I mean, I can't tell you. Just looking through the KenPom ratings and going through this, there's some incredible basketball games to watch, even if you don't bet on them. I mean, just in the top 25, I mean, you got North Carolina at Kentucky. I mean, two blue bloods. You've got UConn, and I wanted to get a Case on this before. Is Peterson back? UConn -1.5 at Kansas tonight. Is Peterson playing?
I have not seen an official, but I would doubt it. Just that it's hamstring. It seems like it's lingering. But who knows? I thought a week before Players Era, I thought he was going to be back for Players Era, and he obviously wasn't. So I've been wrong every step of the way, but I would think probably not.
All right. Anything else you guys want to get into? NHL? Anything ruffling around? Again, we do this show every Tuesday and Friday. We're working to get even more shows. We'd love to be on every single day of the week, but we also have a 9 to 5, which we got to get after. But 10 o'clock Central Time on Tuesday and Friday, it's live on the YouTube channel. Of course, thanks to Duncan Dad, and of course, also Angel does fantastic work for the Digital Coastal Sports Network. We greatly appreciate those guys having us.
3-1 last night on hockey with two big dogs winning outright.
So there you go. You're hockey. Yeah, keep them hockey picks coming, man, because the hockey picks, I love it. You are probably by far, you and Case, the best people at handicapping hockey. I got another friend of mine that just loves betting on hockey. He's like a $5 player. He plays $5 parlays and stuff like that. But and he banks me up with a bunch of stuff. Man, when you get hot in hockey, man, you get really hot. I mean, he gets smoking hot. So, and it's a lot like baseball, too, because we don't want to be playing $200 favorites because we don't want to lose. We lose one of those, and it'll ruin a 3-2 night for sure. So, good stuff.
Couple lingering thoughts. I just looked up. Maybe Peterson has a better chance than I'm giving him. It seems like at least the beat writers aren't ruling it out. So you just got to keep your ear to the ground on that. I don't think this Kansas team is very good, despite catching fire against Tennessee. I didn't bet the game, but I'd lean UConn there. I never responded to our reader email, so I just want to say quickly, I loved the choice to go for it. I think Alabama fans should love Kalen DeBoer for that. I think people forget when he was at Fresno and early Washington, he was super aggressive, and I think for me, the way I'd like to see it, I kind of felt like Alabama kind of neutered him. I feel like he's kind of scared of what the feedback's going to be back there when he puts it all on the line. I think that was 100% the right decision, and that's a boost to the vintage Kalen DeBoer to me. I think he asked what coach you would trust more, and in game, I mean, I would have said DeBoer for years, but I've really liked some of Smart's decisions this year. I think it's kind of neutral in game. I would still give Smart the overall edge as far as like culture, you know, history, rah-rah, getting the guys going. But in game, I don't really think there's a huge advantage either way.
And I think Case just nailed it. I think DeBoer is more in the Kirby Smart kind of mindset. I thought Kirby Smart had the best comment of the entire season after the Texas game, where he went for it on 4th-and-4 from his own 36 in a 4-point game late in the third quarter. And they said, Kirby, what, that was insane. I was against the book. He goes, hey, the margin in this league is so small. You've got to play aggressively. You got to play to win. You can't play not to lose. Yeah. And I think that's been DeBoer's MO. And I think Case is right. I think at first he was hesitant to be himself. I think DeBoer is blossoming now into the coach that everybody believed he could be.
Does not
as long
look
as
like
Kirby it. Doesn't come out and be Kirby dumb like he was against Alabama when they lined up for the punt. And the fake punt a few years ago, and everybody in the world knew they were going to fake punt it. So what did Kirby do? He faked the punt, and it cost
him. Yeah, Justin Fields on the field. He didn't learn from Lincoln Riley to go put a different number on him. That would have worked.
Sometimes, hey, by the way, I would like to give a shout out to ESPN for their complete SEC bias and horrible decision to go to take game day to Atlanta to the Georgia-Alabama game instead of 1-2 in Ohio State-Indiana.
Yeah, but that's a Fox property. This is all about TV and revenue. No, so
you got to make the right
they
decision.
They went to Michigan-Ohio State last week, too, so there was no way they were going to promote the Fox game 2 weeks in a row.
I know, but 1-2.
I know, but, you know, the lore of Michigan-Ohio State was mightier. Ask Tony's brother.
Yeah.
And we know how much Kip loves the Big 12.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, the Big 10.
Just a little bit.
The snow coming down the other day, how much I wished I was in the big house last Saturday.
I'll bet you
not.
Were. Yeah. All right, guys, thank you so much. Good stuff. Check us out again. We're live on Tony Curry Radio on the Digital Sports Network. I know I'm always saying that wrong. Coastal Digital Sports Network. It's all, you get all the right words. Get in there and check it out.
102.9 The Game.
Yes, they do fantastic work. So make sure you check out all their shows with Pete and Angel and the entire crew. They do a bang-up job. And thanks again for letting us be part of this. We'll be back on Friday at 10 o'clock getting ready for the big CFP later on tonight, guys. It's going to be interesting. Should be fun.
I can't wait to hear Hunter, you don't deserve a check explanation of the insanity that they are going to rot tonight.
It's
I'm a guy. Watch college basketball. We don't need to see that. I don't need to watch the sideshow. I'd much rather watch the ACC SEC game.
There you go.
Yeah, right, the Grapevine Clown Show. It's must-see TV.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you, man.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.